can't leave the book of Proverbs just yet. So tonight we're going to continue looking into some pearls from Proverbs. And I'd like to actually take a pearl from Proverbs and an emerald from Ecclesiastes. They really relate to each other. So turn, please, to Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. Proverbs 27 and verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And then Ecclesiastes, or emerald from Ecclesiastes, chapter 10 and verse 10. If the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. And I suppose the latter portion of verse 9 is related. He that cleaveth or splitteth wood shall be endangered thereby. You certainly have to watch out, but especially if you have a blunted edge. So what could we possibly extract from these portions of Scripture? I think we should be reminded often of the responsibility of a reciprocal relationship. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You notice it takes two to sharpen countenance. And it says there, if the iron be blunt, then he must whet the edge. And it's related to what is spoken in that pearl from Proverbs. And it's saying there, as you relate this spiritually, that the sharpening instrument is a brother or sister in the Lord. And so there's that reciprocal relationship that is spoken of in the Old Testament, certainly made clear and clearer in the New Testament, love one another. It doesn't just say love. It says love one another. And I remind us that the church is a body of believers and is not likened just to a single part of the body. The parts are the individuals, but the body, the church itself is likened to a body. It's also likened to a building and not just a brick. A building of bricks, but a building with many bricks. It's likened to a bride. Is it not a bride that is complete? And we certainly need to be reciprocal in our relationships. No man should be, no man is an island, right? Now, what is our answer as we are challenged to provide reciprocal love, love one another? You notice it's back and forth here. It's not you need to love me, but we need to love each other. That's what the Bible's saying. It's not just a one-way street, it's a two-way street. And what is our answer to that? Well, I guess if nothing else is on my schedule, I will go and show love to that person. Or if nothing else comes up in my life, I guess I'll enter into that relationship. Or it's not my gift, or someone else can do it, or I don't want to get involved, or not with that person. I'll have a reciprocal relationship with him or her, but not with that one. And yet the Bible tells us that we are to not be selective in our relationships as believers, right? Matter of fact, Thessalonians says you should choose the people that are weaker and who have difficulties, spiritually speaking. Those are not the people to avoid. Those are the people to help. They need someone to love them. If we consider them or they consider us to be blunt, then who's going to sharpen them? Do we just leave them alone to be blunt? Or do we help them to become sharpened and helpful and loving believers. There's still a lot of selfishness even in us when we're Christians, isn't there? And this is the wood cutting season that's upon us again here in the spring of 2014. So I hope a subject that is that which illustration is on our minds, certainly. So what can we take from this spiritually? We need to use, the use of a sharpened tool is effective. The use of that tool blunts in time and with usage. Continual use without sharpening makes it less efficient. That tool needs to be sharpened, and it will require less strength and render it more efficient and enjoyable. I guess we could maybe even reduce it to two thoughts. We must work at loving one another, and we need help to love one another. I mean, isn't that essentially what it's saying? We're likened, if you will, to an axe, whether we like it or not. We're likened to iron. That's not a bad illustration, is it? Iron is a metal, right? It's strong. We're likened to an axe. The axe needs to be used, but the axe needs to be sharpened. It needs, we need help. We're dangerous when we're blunt, and we need one another to sharpen our edges. I wonder if God adapted this illustration for truth, or just factor life situations for illustrations. I'm convinced that the Lord factored all this in His creation. And we have many, many illustrations that shed light on that which the Lord is teaching us. Now, the word countenance means face, but I think it refers to character. A man sharpening the countenance of his friend. That's a hard thought. I mean, obviously, can't take that literally, but sharpen the countenance of his friend means to sharpen his soul, to improve his character as a Christian, to better him as a person. That is our responsibility. God wants us to help one another along in our Christian lives. Are we concerned that each one of us goes on with the Lord? We can't do it alone. There are a lot of people that are islands. They just don't like being with other people. And yet the Bible tells us we need to be with other people. I know Dan was mentioning regarding the Eighth Commandment that God does recognize individualism, and we will stand before God as individuals. But I know that he doesn't disagree that individualism can be dangerous as far as your spiritual life is concerned. There's too much individualism in the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't want to get involved. That's just not my gift. Or, I'm a shy person. Or, I just don't like being with people. And we can use all kinds of excuses. But we need to reckon that the Lord has commanded each one of us to love one another. And we have to be careful that we don't become Protestant monks and Protestant nuns and avoid contact with other believers just because maybe that's the way we were brought up. But we need to have the grace to receive love from another and God's grace to offer our love in various manifestations to others. We are our brother's keeper. Isn't it interesting how one switch of words can mean something totally different? Am I my brother's keeper? Just switch those first two words around. I am my brother's keeper. And what was Cain saying? He was making an excuse. He was saying, what do I have to do with Abel? That's not my business. Yet Cain, you were born first. You're the older sibling. It is that we need to be our brother's keeper. It's interesting how the next verse in Proverbs 27:17 talks about being the keeper of the fig tree. Did you notice that? Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. And, you know, we do need to be each other's keepers. Yes, we need to keep our own fig tree, but we also need to keep the fig trees of our master. And we need to have reciprocal relationships with one another. In the book of Acts, it says the Lord added the believers to the church. They all continued together steadfastly in doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. He included individuals in the church, and he basically said to every individual, get involved. Be involved together. This is a kingdom of priests, and I want you to receive and give and receive love. Now, the word countenance, as I said, has the idea of character. And by the way, that the Hebrew word translated countenance is the same Hebrew word translated edge in Ecclesiastes 10:10. It says, if the iron be blunt and you do not whet the edge. The word edge is the word face or countenance, the same Hebrew word that's translated that in Proverbs 27:17. If the iron be blunt and he does not whet, well, obviously it's now referring to an iron axe, where it's referring to a person in Proverbs. But, I mean, you could translate Proverbs 27:17, a man sharpening the count or the edge of his friend. That's the idea. The word edge is an illustration, just like countenance is another way of saying character. Now, there are different adjectives that describe a person's countenance or character in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. This is obviously a sharpened character. It's a positive thought, a sharpened character. We need a character that's being sharpened, that's maturing, right? That's growing, it's advancing in all the virtues. But you also have an impudent countenance of the harlot, chapter 7 of Proverbs. But you have also a cheerful countenance in chapter 15. We aren't going to have a cheerful countenance if we're not being helped by one another. You have an angry countenance. You have a sad countenance. You have a bold countenance, which is a good boldness. And then you have a shining countenance. In Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1. Our burden is to see one another sharpened, cheerful, shining, and bold for the Lord Jesus. Iron is a substantial metal, is it not? It's strong, but it needs sharpening from time to time. A believer is a strong creation of God, but we are finite. We need help. We need to be sharpened. We need to be helped. And so the first thought is the iron needs to be used. Use the iron. I mean, the Lord did not save us and take us immediately to heaven. The Lord saved us to use us here, to reflect His new creation. Did He not? When He says, old things are passed away, all things have become new, isn't He saying, and I want you to show the world that all things have become new. Let your light so shine before men. Love your enemies. Love strangers. Love believers. Be peacemakers. Rejoice in the Lord. Show people the joy of the Lord, like this gentleman did to Aaron. You know, he's my Savior. I'm having a great day. You know, how are you doing? He was basically saying, God is my Father, Christ is my Savior, the Holy Spirit is my Comforter. I couldn't be doing any better having a relationship with the Triune God. That's using his iron. He was sharpening Aaron's character. He was there to help Aaron along. He sensed that Aaron was down. And he was there to sharpen. We trust. And this should be reciprocal. One day that man might be a little down. and look for that opportunity. And certainly even more now that you know his definitive character, that you fellowship one with the other. But again, the fruit of the Spirit is involved here. Show people long-suffering. Be kind. Be good. Be faithful. Faithfulness. Be gentle. Be temperate. This is exercising that iron tool. Serve the Lord, as it were, in the forest. Serve Him in the shop. Serve Him in the church. Serve Him in the home. Serve Him in the world. But having said that, that iron is going to get blunt. We weaken. Paul was not a granite Christian. He talked about thank you for your fellowship. He saluted people that were a great blessing to him. The Philippian church that gave to him. He, with fear and trembling, approached the Corinthian church because they were in such a terrible condition. He was saying, I'm a man of like passion. And he needed encouragement. The Lord encouraged him with Luke on the ship. He encouraged him with Barnabas. He encouraged him with Silas. He encouraged him when he converted people who went on with the Lord. Iron gets blunt, though, as we serve the Lord. We're naturally weak. We chip. We dull. We succumb to temptation. One day, it seems like it doesn't matter what temptation comes. We are able. And you know, it's like someone said, there are days when the opportunity for falling to temptation is there, but the desire doesn't seem to be there. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's scary unless we're walking with the Lord. There are days that it just seems like I have opportunity to do bad, evil things and temptations to it, but my heart is strengthened by the Lord. I don't want to do that. But it just seems like, wow, I could have done those things. And it didn't seem like anybody was watching. And then the other reverse is there are times that it just seems like our heart is straying and we're mischievous. And we just feel like, wow, I just feel like I want to do evil today. My heart is so prone, but the opportunities aren't there for me to exercise that mischievous heart that I feel. Have you ever had those days? But the scary part is the devil wants us to be put in a position where the opportunities are there and the mischievous heart is there too. We need the Lord, and may I also, but we need each other. How you doing, brother? Is the Lord strengthening your heart? How you doing? You know, you asked me to pray about, you know, this temptation or that particular sin. How you doing in that regard? We can't forget when we the conversations we have with one another that, look, I'm weak in this area. Pray for me. I think every so often we should be saying, how you doing in that area in the Lord? We should be praying for each other. We succumb to temptation. We all have snagging sins, don't we? Sins that snare us. Maybe yours doesn't bother me and mine doesn't bother you, but it's just amazing how we are different. We all have fleshly reliance. We're all at times neglectful. We let down our guards. We'll break down alone. And doesn't the Bible say it without, you know, the threefold cord is not easily broken? However you want to liken that to two or three believers, but even a twofold is stronger than a onefold. We need each other, do we not? Entwine, our lives entwine together. We get blunt. And we need someone there to sharpen the edge, to help us along, to pick us up, to encourage us. That the Lord forgives and the Lord cleanses, or, you know, brother, the Lord is with you and He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. So the iron needs to be used, but the iron gets blunt. And the iron needs to be sharpened. It needs to be whetted. There's a conference of believers in South Carolina that meets every 4 years. It's called the Whetstone. I wish I could. Whetstone Conference. And that's, they got it from these passages. That they're meant, the conference is meant to sharpen each other's character. Good name, is it not? Maybe we should name our team. You know, we're talking about a logo. The Whetstones. It's better than the Flintstones. What do you think about that? Anyway, there's an offer. Somebody has a business that's willing to give us shirts if somebody can produce a logo. And I've tried to encourage Jessica to create something on the computer of some kind of logo. So anyway, the Berean Whetstones. That's one recommendation. We should sharpen each other's countenance. But we need others. We need others. I mean, think about the ways we can sharpen each other's countenance. Again, you know, I should give another series. I've forgotten the series, but I bring back the different ways we can sharpen each other. Admonish one another, forgive one another, edify one another, salute one another, forbear one another, consider one another to provoke to love and good works, teach one another, pray for one another, confess to one another, tarry for one another, be kind to one another, give to one another, restore one another, have care for one another, serve one another, submit to one another, be hospitable one to another, esteem other or one another better than yourself, bear one another's burdens, prefer one another, commune with one another, have peace with one another, be affectionate toward one another, have the same mind one toward another, receive one another, be like-minded toward one another, provoke one another to love and good works, comfort one another. I mean, tons of ways in which we can wet each other's countenance. And think about when we neglect, as the Lord says, it's not like He's just saying, whipping us into church attendance. He's saying, look, this is practical. If you forsake the assembling of yourself together, you're denying someone the opportunity to be sharpened, and you're neglecting your instrument being sharpened by someone else. Remember listening, or recently just listening, and it just hit me. William Hughes was just saying that people undervalue just one sermon. I mean, one sermon could help me or else. Obviously, we don't value things like we should. One message could make all the difference in how I live this week. One thought, one word, one communication with another believer. And I need to make sure I'm in the will of God. I'm not saying you understand. I'm not saying, well, if you miss a service, you're going to lose out for a week. You're going to lose out for a month. But the point is that we undervalue just a conversation with a believer. We undervalue a message from God's Word as if, oh, I can miss that. I can miss this. But yet it may be the very, you know, what do you call it? The very tool. What's the tool you sharpen the stone? You sharpen the part. What is it?
Whetstone.
Yes, it's the whetstone. But what do we call it? The handle, the file. The what do you call it?
The steel.
The file. The file that I sharpen the chainsaw blade with. The blade file. Whatever we can. One message is a file to my blunted edge. One conversation, one phone call, one prayer meeting, one opportunity to pray together. Or when you look at a reciprocal relationship that can dull our relationships. The Bible also talks about don't betray one another. Don't separate from one another. Don't excuse one another. Don't forsake one another. Don't grudge with one another. Don't trod upon one another. Don't devour and bite one another. Don't judge one another. Don't lie to one another. Don't speak evil of another. Don't murmur one to another. Don't strive with one another. Don't envy. Don't hate one another. Don't do wrong to one another. Don't lust one another. So that's something that I missed in that series, that we can actually, by our relationship at times, dull each other if we're not in the Spirit. The reason why we should have reciprocal relationships, because the apostle said, in many other ways of expressing this, for we are members one of another. Body parts need to work together. They cannot work in isolation. Take the heart out of the body, it's dead. Hand needs the brain. Every part needs other parts to function correctly. And so I close tonight. Are we reciprocal with one another, with a body of believers? One another is the watchword of the Church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say one, but one another. May the Lord use each one of us to whet the iron by praying for each other, praying with each other, admonishing, and singing with each other, witnessing with one another, forgiving, counseling, teaching, and so on. In other words, it takes a relationship, a reciprocal relationship. Someone asked a preacher recently, give me chapter and verse of membership lists, why people should become members. He said, you know, there isn't a chapter and verse. But the whole tenor of the Scripture, and especially the New Testament, is a reciprocal relationship that is real, that is, the word that he used, that is identifiable. People in each church were identifiable, or they could not have been called the churches of Galatia, or the church of Ephesus, or the church in Rome. But the whole tenor of the New Testament is that people have a tangible relationship with one another, a covenant relationship, that they're going to be their brother's keeper, and they're going to sharpen one another's countenance in this life. So each one of us can be able to be able to hear in that last day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. As iron sharpeneth iron, so a man, so a woman, sharpens the countenance of his friend. And when the iron is blunt, it takes a lot more force. And I find that in the chainsaw. When my chainsaw blade is going, I can tell, not only by the fact that the piece is being cut in a irregular fashion, but I have to push that chainsaw to get that cut to be made. You know, when it's nice and sharp, and you can just basically, you know, the chainsaw just cuts like a butter knife. Thank you. Like a hot butter knife through the butter. And may the Lord help us all to be hot butter knives to each other. And that the Lord would sharpen us day after day, and every time we meet together, may we be able to leave every fellowship, every service, every phone call that is made, every time that we can influence each other, may we leave sharpened by our fellowship one with another. I know this, that when we meet with God, He sharpens us. But He's saying, I want you to exercise that godly relationship upon one another. I use means, and the means of fellowshipping one with another.